Genesis chapter 12. Find that place in your Bible. Glenda has our song tonight. So when she's done, the fellows will be ready with the handout. We'll move right into the lesson for this evening. Genesis chapter 12. Thank you, Glenda, for singing. Appreciate the good song. I appreciate this lady's faithfulness. She's one of a handful. She's been around here a long, long time. And how many years, Glenda? How old were you when y'all came? 4 years of age. And she's only 34 now, so she's been here 30 years. No, my goodness, 4 years of age. And that's wonderful, faithful, faithful lady. All right, you're already at it, handing out the handouts. That's good. So if you'd like one, raise your hand. And they'll bring one your way tonight. And we will get back to the subject of the patriarchs that we started about 13 months ago. And no, it hasn't been that long, but it has been a while. And I should have seen the Wednesdays that were coming and thought, maybe I don't need to start it until... But anyway, it's what it is. And we'll be in Patriarchs number 2 tonight as you receive the handout. And in just a moment, we will begin reading in Genesis chapter 12 after I give you just a brief review from several weeks ago. Everybody got a hand up that wants one? I over there to your left, several in the back row over there. And very good. Pass those down. Wonderful. Let's pray together as they finish up. Father in heaven, thank you for the good song that reminded us about the power and the care and the love of that scarred hand. We thank you, Jesus, for your nail-scarred hand, all that it means to us. God, I pray tonight that you'll help us, please, to want to get something from your word. Lord, you'll fill our cup if we come hungry enough and thirsty enough and we want to learn. And so I pray that you'd help us tonight to have a heart to receive, to learn, to know, and to apply your word. Thank you for the subject matter we'll be discussing tonight. And I pray you help me to do it in your power and your blessing. In Jesus' name, and amen. So a few weeks ago, we took a quick look at the call of God on the life of the patriarch Abraham. We were in the book of Isaiah then. God spoke through Isaiah to the Jews, remember this, who were going into captivity in Babylon. And he told them, when you get in Babylon, and you feel like God is I've forsaken you, and it's all over, and there's no hope, he told them to, quote, look to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. And in the same sentence, he told them to look unto Abraham your father. Now, that's an interesting connection there. Look to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged, and look unto Abraham your father. Now, Isaiah said this for the purpose of encouraging the Jews who, in the midst of their captivity, they were there 70 years. That's a lifetime in America now. All right? So they're there 70 years. So in the midst of their captivity, they may have begun to question if they were too far gone for God to ever restore them to their homeland and into His favor. Had they done so much in disobedience and rebellion to God that He was just going to put them over in Babylon and forget them? And God told them, number one on your sheet here, to remember the call of their father Abraham. He was dug out of the hole of the pit by grace. There was nothing about Abraham that merited God's call. It was all of grace. He was dug out by God's grace, and God would dig those Jews in Babylon out as well. They were coming out of Babylon, and God would accomplish it through His grace. Nothing that they deserved, nothing that they merited, but God's call to bring them back out of captivity into their homeland would be a call of grace. And how does this apply to you and me? Well, people, we were dug out by God's grace as well. That's how we were dug out. And when all hell and the devil lead us to despair and to give up hope of ever living with God's blessings because all of us slip back, and usually more than once, and all of us disobey, and all of us rebel at some point against God. And when all hell and the devil jump up on our shoulders and try to batter us with the thought that if you give up hope, you'll never ever live with God's blessing again. Remember your beginning. Your beginning was by grace. And realize that God still calls you back into fellowship by grace. There's never anything, folks, on our part as far as merit goes. It's everything that's done by the mercy and the grace of God. So it was a call of grace. That's what we talked about in greater detail some weeks ago. Now, number two on your sheet tonight, this God's call to Abraham was also a call of separation. A call of separation. Look at chapter 12. Look in verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now this text tells us about the call of God to Abraham. And I want you to notice the first words that God spoke to him. Number 3 on your sheet comes out of verse number 1, get thee out. So notice the first words God spoke to him were, get thee out of. Get thee out of. Okay? Abraham, come out. Now, the fact that God called him was a call of grace, was by grace. And God's call to him was a call to separation. Come out. Come away from your country. Come away from your kin. Come away from your father's house. Folks, do you see what kind of a call this was? This was a call of separation. It was a call to separate. Now, that's a word that has become unseemly even in Baptist circles today. But I'm not going to talk about it tonight in the realm that I think most people think of it in. And so you stick with me and listen closely, because once again, I don't want to be misunderstood on this issue. This was a call of separation. God dug Abraham out of the hole of the pit. He lived in the land of Mesopotamia. It was a land full of idols. Idolatrous. Horrible land. And so he called him out of the hole of the pit, and he called him to a life of separation. Abraham! That was grace. The very fact that God would call his name was grace. The very fact that one day God called my name and your name was a call of grace. God's call to Abraham was, get out. Come out. Come out of. But I want you to notice something, folks. Number four on your sheet, it wasn't just a call of separation from, it was a call of separation unto. Come out, get out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. So it wasn't just a call of separation from, it was a call of separation unto. Unto a land, unto a life of faith. That's what this call was, a call of separation. Come out. Come out so that you can go in. Come out of so that you can go into. And we're going to use our Bible several times tonight. Look over at Acts chapter 7. Let's go to the New Testament. Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, we find Stephen preaching there to the Jews. And he was reliving the history of the nation of Israel. And of course, in doing so, he dealt with the patriarch Abraham. So look at Acts chapter 7, verse number 3. You'll find the same thing repeated here. Look at what the Lord said. So this Stephen is preaching. God's given him the words. And he talks about the call that came to him in verse number 2. And then verse number 3. And said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come into the land which I shall show thee. So again, you see the call of separation. And you see the fullness of separation. Come out of so you can go into. Folks, it did not stop with coming out of. Come out of so you can go into. It's repeated all through the Bible. Let me turn you to a place that I was going to turn you to later, but I'll go ahead and do that right now. You know what? We'll talk about that in just a little bit. I'll get over there. Okay, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Okay, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, God promised Abraham several blessings. We read those in Genesis 12, 2 and 3. You come out and I will, and I will, and I'll do this. But all of those blessings were contingent on Abraham getting out of his land and into the land God had for him. All of those were contingent on Abraham coming out and into. Now, he had no idea where that land was located. By faith, he had to come out of so that he could come into that place of blessing. So look at the New Testament. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 17 tonight. So, wherefore, to the Corinthians, come out from among them. And be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you. And will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now does that sound familiar? Come out and I will. Come out and I will. Come out from among them and I will. Okay? Once again, number 5, the blessings of those I wills are contingent on our coming out of. Come out from among them, he says. That's recorded for me and you. Come out from among the unsaved, he says. But not just come out so that I can perform these things for you. And what does God promise those who separate unto him? You don't just come out, you separate, you come out so that you can separate unto. And look at the promise. The promise is in verse number 18. I will be, at the end of verse 17, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. So God said, number six on your sheet, if we will come out of, He will embrace us and receive us and fulfill the responsibilities of fatherhood to us. He wants us to come out so that we can come unto. Come out of the world so that you can come to me. So that I can have a full relationship with you. Now people, look, separating unto God brings us into a favorable and warm relationship with Him. I want you to notice something here at the beginning of verse number 18. He did not say, I will become a father to you. That happened at salvation. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. So at salvation, God became our Father. He's saying here, you separate, you come out to me, and I will carry out the functional duty of a father in your life. People, do you understand that everybody on this planet has a father? But not everybody has a father functioning in the responsibilities of fatherhood. Some of us don't have a father functioning in the responsibilities of fatherhood because they've already passed away. They're gone. But there are a lot of kids in America and around the world who have dads, who have fathers, and those fathers are not functioning. They're not fulfilling the obligations and functioning responsibilities of fatherhood. They've got a dad, but that dad is not functioning in their life. So what God is saying here is He's saying, look, I'm already your father. I became your father at salvation. Now what I want you to do is I want you to separate. I want you to come out from the world. And He goes through all of those comparisons there, all those contrasts, okay? Because, you know, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And all these contrasts. He said, I want you to come out of that, and I want you to come into a special relationship with me. And if you will come out of that, I will receive you. I'll warmly take you in, and you will allow me to function as a father in your life. I don't know about you, but I like the idea of having a functioning heavenly Father in my life. I like that idea. Here's the illustration, okay? So let's say I'm a married man. I have three children. One day there are five kids from church at my house. They're all playing in my yard together with my three kids. They are having fun. I'm enjoying watching them play. I like them all. I have an affection for them all. I hope they all have wonderful lives. I hope they all have blessed futures. But people, among those eight kids, there are three that are mine. I am their dad. And because I am obligated to care for them, to do for them, to be to them. Something I am not obligated to do or to be for the other five. And by the way, I'm not just obligated, I want to. I desire to do. I desire to be for those three. Because those three are my sons and my daughters. And this is what Paul is telling the Corinthian people. I don't want you just to come out of worldliness. I don't want you to just come out of darkness into light. I don't want you to just come out of unrighteousness into righteousness. I want you to come out of all of that unto me. Separate to me, and I will receive you. And if you'll do that, I'll be a functioning. It gives me the great opportunity to fulfill the functional responsibilities of a dad in your life. And I'm going to tell you something. That's a very, very, that's a special place of blessing. I think you want to be there. Now, this is what Paul is telling these Corinthian people. He's saying here that separation out of puts you and me in a position where God performs the responsibilities of fatherhood in our lives. People, look to your beginning. Look to the hole of the pit God dug you out of. That digging was a call of grace. But it was also a call of separation. In fact, number 7 on your sheet? The truth is that grace and separation go together. There is a crowd today, sad to say, and even Baptist churches, that are trying to put a division between grace and separation. I think, friend, with all of my heart, that grace and separation go together. Now look, we are not of those who separate for the purpose of obtaining salvation. All right? Now, there are those who devote themselves to a life of loneliness and fasting, and they pass time with mindless chanting. You know what I'm talking about? Monks, Buddhist monks. I saw them in the airport the other day, last week. They had their head shaved. Here they came with their bright orange and scarlet robes on and their sandals. And I don't know all they involve themselves in, but I know that they give themselves to a life sometimes of loneliness and solitude and fasting and passing time with mindless chanting. What are they doing that for? It's all in the hopes of obtaining salvation and winning favor from some remote and distant supreme being. No. That's not what this is talking about. We're not separating unto God so that we can obtain salvation. We're separating unto God because we've been saved. We appreciate a call of grace in our hearts and lives. He wants us not only to come out, He wants us to come in too. And the truth of the matter is, if we will come out and then come in too, He will assume the functioning duties of a father in our lives. That's a pretty good deal for a sinner who deserves to go to hell. Like me and like you. Now, I want you to take notice of one very important matter about separation. This is the crux of what I want to talk about tonight for the rest of the time. Too many of us associate separation with women's dress, right music, and abstinence from alcohol. I'm separated. I don't. Now look, that's important. That's important. I mean total abstinence from alcohol. I don't mean wine sipping. You look at that verse over in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 15. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor to drink, and makest him drunken also. That's two separate things. Woe to him who puts it to his lips so he can sip it, and woe to him who makes him drunk. I'm going to tell you, it's just as wrong to sip it as it is to drink it so much you get drunk. I am for abstinence from alcohol. I'm for right music. I think the music is going to make or break your Christian life. I'm for women's dress being right and men's. But I wonder, folks, if those things aren't simply a matter of obedience to the principles of Scripture. There are principles of Scripture about all of those things. There are principles of Scripture about dress, modest dress, distinctive dress. There's principles of Scripture about right music. There's principles of Scripture about abstaining from alcohol. I think it's mandatory. I think we're mandated to be obedient to all of those principles. And they are important. But I'm not sure that they really have to do with the separation that God called Abraham to out of the Ur of Chaldees. Now, number 8 on your sheet, too many people define separation only by the coming out. That is a part of it. Please do not misrepresent what I am saying tonight. Separation does involve coming out, okay? Coming out of worldliness, coming out of sin, it involves that. But too many people stop right there. We stop right there. Man, I dress right, my music's right, and I don't touch alcohol. I'm a separated Christian halfway. Halfway. Because the call of separation is not just out of, it's into. Not just out of, unto. Unto who? Unto Him. Unto God, okay? So too many people, that's all, they glory in that. You know, I don't do this. And don't, there's far more to separation than just coming out of. There is the unbelievable blessing of all the I wills. You come out to me, and I will, I'll warmly receive you. I will perform the functioning duties of a father to you. And the truth of the matter is, people, to finish out that statement there on number 8, too many people define separation only by the coming out. The truth is, separation is supposed to be unto Him. Unto Him. And this is one of the purposes of His bringing us out. And it's all through the Scripture. I was going to have you turn, but I won't do it for sake of time, to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 20 through 23. God said He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. Great, wonderful. But He didn't stop there. He said, I brought you out of Egypt so that I might bring you into the land of Canaan. It wasn't enough for me just to bring you out. I wanted to bring you out so I can bring you in. That's the call of separation. Not just from the world, but unto Him. Unto Him in obedience. Unto Him in faith. And understand that there are many who are obedient in the matter of dress. They are obedient in the matter of music. They are obedient in the matter of alcohol, who are not close to God. And that's the bottom line. Not close to God. Truth of the matter is, folks, and I haven't studied this out. I'm probably getting on thin ice a little bit until I studied this out a little bit. You know, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love Christ, you will obey Him. Let me ask you on the flip side of that thing. Is it possible to obey Him without loving Him? I think He told one group of people, man, your lips honor me and you do this and everything, but your is where? Far from. Well, I'm obedient. I'm glad. But that's not a sign that you necessarily love God. Now, if you love God, you'll be obedient. But it's possible. This is what I'm saying here. Far too many, God said, look, you come out, and I'm glad you come out, and I brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but I didn't bring them out just to bring them out. I brought them out to bring them in, into the land of Canaan, full of milk and honey, where the grapes of Esther will grow. And my presence will be with you, and I'll bless you there. And God says to you and me, I want you to come out. It's a call of separation. Come out so that you can come in. You can't bring all that worldliness into fellowship with God. You can't do that. So you got to come out of that and into a relationship with Him. Okay? Now, those matters of obedience, I'm talking about matter of dress, music, alcohol, all the rest of them. They're all great and everything, but folks, those matters of obedience are not the full essence of separation. Number 9, the essence of separation is that God might be more than God to us. He wants us to know Him as a Father. As a Father. And maybe this is why people have such a bad taste in their mouth about separation today. I'm sure some people have a bad taste in their mouth about separation because they love the things of the world. They don't want to give them up. They don't want to come out of alcohol. They want to sip it. They don't want to come out of immodest dress. It's too convenient, too easy to do that way, to dress that way. I'm sure there are some who don't want to hear about separation because they just don't want to come out. But I wonder if there are some who don't want to hear about separation because all they've ever heard in Sunday school rooms and from pulpits is come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. They never have been told anything about coming in. Come in. Man, come out of that so you can come into a close relationship. And that's the full essence of separation. He wants us to separate out of so that we might separate into. And I want to tell you something, child of God. You and I, there's not a person in this room that has to fear anything about coming out of it. You don't have to fear at all coming out of something as long as you come into a relationship with Him. When you and I get into that full relationship with Him where He performs the functioning duties of a Father to us, we're not going to care about those things that we left behind and came out of. Not a bit. Listen, I'm for the rules. I preached this a few weeks ago about Christ. And I'm not changing. I'm not getting soft. We're not throwing out the standards for the choir and the teachers and those things. But there's more to it than just coming out. There's more to it. Is the length of your dress and skirt important? Yes. Is your style, is the fashion, your appearance important? Yes. Is teetotalism from alcohol important? Yes. Is music important? Yes. But I can do all of those things and still not be close to Him. Still not come into a relationship with Him. And on the flip side of it, say, well, say, I want to be close to Him, not worry about those things. Those are the things you have to leave behind to get close to Him in some cases. But don't stop short. Don't stop short. I'm not minimizing being separate from worldliness. That's important. I'm advocating that obeying God's Word in matters of holy living, while at the same time separating unto Him. Unto Him. Number 10, God's call to Abraham was a call to trust Me. Have faith in Me. Now watch this. Leave your father and let Me be your father. That's what His call was. And God dug Abraham out so that he could be Abraham's father. And the same goes for us. It's kind of like, you know, a bridegroom, you know what a bridegroom does? Essentially, you look at it this way. A bridegroom calls a solitary woman out of a life of being alone and solitary, by herself. Hey, be my bride. Come out of this life of solitude and being alone and come be my bride. But if he's the right kind of man, he doesn't call her out of a life of solitude and into a relationship with him just so she can wash his clothes, cook his meals, and clean his house. I think those vows that he makes to her to have and to hold, to love and to cherish, that's relationship. So a man says, a bridegroom says to a solitary woman, living in a life of loneliness and solitude by herself, hey, come out of that and into a relationship with Me. And you know, I'll be glad to have my house cleaned. I'll be glad to have my food cooked. I'll be glad to have my clothes washed. But more than that, man, we want to have and hold each other. We want to love and share. I want you to come into a relationship with Me. And that's what God wants. God doesn't want us running around teaching Sunday school classes, working bus routes, singing in the choir, playing the instruments, but with no relationship with Him. Come to Me. I want you to come out so that you can come in. I want you to come out so that I can receive you warmly, so that I can perform the functioning duties of a father to you. So, Abraham's call was one of grace and separation. Grace and separation. Now, how did Abraham respond? Let's look at that. We'll be done. How did Abraham respond? I'm going to have to go to several places because I'm going to show you something here. And I hope this will encourage you. Okay? Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 8. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 8. Let's turn quick. Okay? Hebrews chapter 11. Let me give you a heads up. In just a minute, we're going back to Genesis. All right? Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 8. Okay? So, here in the Hall of Faith, the writer of Hebrews is talking about this call again. By faith, Abraham, here it is, when he was called to go out into. Do you see it? There it is again. Out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. I think Brother Gellis touched on this not long ago in a message on Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham obeyed. When God called him out of into, he obeyed. Hey, you know what I say? There's a lot of good in that statement right there. Amen, Abraham. There's challenge in that statement. That's such a lofty response. Number 11, Abraham simply obeyed God's call and he enjoyed a special relationship with God. Wow. Amen, Abraham. Way to go. Now here you and I sit, June the 26th, 2019, and maybe we look back at our life since we got called out of being lost in by grace into God's life, eternal life. And we could look back and see where we've not really obeyed like Abraham did. We could get discouraged with our lack of obedience. And we could come to the conclusion that, you know what? We just can't enjoy the relationship that Abraham had with his heavenly Father because the Bible says that he obeyed. But there's something interesting about Abraham's obedience. On your sheet number 12, Abraham's obedience at the beginning was only partial. Only partial. It was not full obedience. Let's compare Scripture to Scripture here. Ready? Genesis chapter 12. Here we go. Genesis chapter 12. We're going to flip back and forth. Genesis chapter 12. We're just going to go, not much. We're just going to go from 12 back to Acts. Genesis chapter 12. Let's read it here. Look at verse number 1. Read the first phrase silently as I read it along. Now the Lord said unto Abram. Is that what your Bible says? Now the Lord had said. Had said unto Abram. All right, look at Genesis chapter 11, just right there. Look at verse number 31. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. Wait a minute. I thought that call to come out of the land of the Chaldees was a call to Abraham, but this says Terah. It reads as if Terah took Abraham and Lot, like it was Terah's decision. Hey, let's go out of Ur of Chaldees down to Haran. That's what it reads like there. But the best commentary on the Bible is what? The Bible. Acts chapter 7, Acts chapter 7. Let's go back there. You were there earlier. Acts chapter 7, Acts chapter 7 and verse number 2. Acts chapter 7 and verse number 2. Okay? Acts chapter 7, verse number 2. This is Stephen preaching, and he said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia," look how specific it gets, "before he dwelt in Charan." That's the New Testament word for the Old Testament word, Haran. "And said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come into the land which I shall show thee." So, the call of grace, the call of separation, did come to Abraham in the land of the Chaldees. So how does Terah get in this mix? Well, folks, Abraham was the oldest child of three boys. The second boy, the third boy, died in Mesopotamia. So Terah has two sons. He has Abraham and Nahor. And Abraham walks in one day and says, "Dad, God's called me to leave the Ur of the Chaldees, to leave my family, to leave my home, to leave my country and go to a land that he's going to show me." "Well, wait, son. You know, wait, I mean, you're going to leave me here with Nahor? I don't know, I want to stay here. I want to come along." And so Terah decided, I guess, "I'm going with Abraham." And he also took Lot. Abraham evidently relented and said, "Well, okay, Dad, that's fine. Yeah, I guess Lot can go too." Folks, in the end, Abraham only partially obeyed God. God told him to leave his family, not bring him along. So what should he have said to his dad? I think he should have said, "Dad, God told me to leave you." Well, that's not easy. Sometimes following God is not easy. Sometimes separating unto God is not easy. I want you to leave your dad. Dad, God told me to leave you. I'd love for you to go along, but he told me to leave you. And you're in my house. So in the end, Abraham only partially obeyed God. Number 13, for Abraham, he let family interfere with the call of separation. He let family interfere with that call. Now, that happens to people today. The call of grace results in salvation, and then comes the call to separate unto God. Number 14, in order to separate, sometimes it requires leaving behind the tradition and religion of the family. And the truth of the matter is, some of you did that. You didn't have to pick up and move geographically, but you left the traditions of your unsaved family. You left the religion of your unsaved family. Why? To be ugly unto them? No, because God said, I want you to separate unto me. And maybe the family got in the way of your separation. Look, we're talking here about a call to separate unto God wholly, fully, completely, without reservation. You know who I saw at Elgin last night? This boy came up and he said, Brother Angel, can you sign my Bible, young man? And he's got one of our anniversary shirts on. I said, son, where'd you get that? He said, my aunt. My sister. I said, what is your name? Justin Smith. It was Bill and Joyce's boy. And he was at that youth conference. And I don't know how he got a t-shirt, but he got one. Okay, and I don't know what happened. I don't know, but he got one. He's wearing it around, man. 50. And I was talking to Brother Hemphill, and they're celebrating their 50th anniversary next year. And he was asking me, man, what did y'all do? And I said, here it is, right here. He took a picture of it right there. You remember when Joyce Smith got saved? Now, she didn't leave her family in the sense of loving them and going to family gatherings. But brother, she left her family in the sense of their tradition and their religion. And I want to tell you, some of them didn't like it. Staunch Catholic. What was she, one of 11 kids? I think, is that right, Scott, one of 11? All Catholic. Mom and Dad Catholic. And her Bill join a Baptist church, get saved, get baptized and join a Baptist church. And you know Joyce. She didn't just come out of being lost. She separated herself unto God. She loved the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something, man. That's not easy sometimes when you have to separate from. And here comes the misunderstandings, and here comes the accusations. You're foolish. You're a fanatic. You've joined a cult. Abraham, leave Dad. Come out so that you can come into, and part of the coming out is you're going to have to leave Dad. You have to leave Dad's. You have to leave your family. Leave Terah. That's Abraham's dad, Terah. Do you know that there could be a Terah in my life? There could be a Terah in your life that keeps us from fully separating unto God? Number 15, Terah might be friends. And God says, separate from them. They keep you from fully separating to me. Let me ask you, and by the way, we immediately think of the teenager. Oh, teenager, how's your friends? And that's true. But let me ask you, adults, how's your friendships? Are your friendships keeping you from full separation unto God? Is it a friend that keeps you from fully separating to God? I don't care if you're a teenager, a 5-year-old, or a 55-year-old. Sometimes friends have to be left behind. Number 16, Terah might be the making of money that consumes everything about us. Making money is not wrong. It's biblical. It's right. Having money, saving money, ahead, it's biblical. It's right. But if the making of money consumes everything about us, it becomes everything we want, desire. God says, you leave that Terah behind. You leave that Terah behind. That doesn't mean you have to quit your job, but you abandon this insatiable desire for more and make sure that you invest much of your life and time in the eternal, not just the temporal. Number 17, Terah might be some ambition or dream or inspiration that we have to be, to do, or to have. But it's a self-willed ambition. It's a self-willed dream. And God says, leave that behind. Give me your ambitions. You come away from those selfish ambitions and dreams. And you come to me. And you know what we do, folks? We hang on to Terah. We move to Haran. We move a little ways down the road, but we hang on to that which we just don't want to let go of. Number 18, we cannot separate fully unto God without full obedience. You say, I'm sunk. No, you're not. It happened to Abraham. He partially obeyed. And I guarantee you, if it happened to Abraham, it could happen to you and me. I'm almost done. I know we're a little bit longer than normal, but let me finish, okay? When we don't enter into that special relationship with God, that place of full separation to Him, and enjoy the benefits of it, we wonder, well, what happened? Man, I know that. We took a Terah with us, and we stopped in Haran. Now, I want you to look at verse number 4. And I'm almost done. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed into this land wherein ye now dwell. People, what did it take to get Abraham moving from Haran into the land where God called him? It took Terah's what? Death. Now listen. People don't have to physically die for you and me to be fully obedient to the call to separate it. But we must die to whatever it is that keeps us from full obedience. We have to die. He calls us into this life of separation. It's not an ugly word. It's not wrapped up in music, dress, and alcohol. That's obedience to the plain commands of Scriptures. It's out of so that I can go into a special relationship with God. Okay, God, I'm coming out, but remember the guy that came to Jesus? I want to be your disciple, but I let me first go bury my... What did the Lord say? Let the dead bury the dead. You come follow me. See, being ugly to his parents, he said, look, you can't be my disciple without full obedience to me. You have a Terah in your life tonight? You have a Terah in your life tonight that you know is keeping you from just fully being obedient to God. It's hindering you from entering into that full relationship with Him that puts Him in a position of a functioning father in your life. Die to that. Say goodbye to it. Hey, people, when I said I do to that woman up there, I said I don't to every other woman in the world. But the joy of my relationship with this woman has never caused me to want any other. I don't need another. I don't want another. Because for 40 years now, man, I've been in a relationship. There's been bumps and things along the way. But my gracious, what a relationship with this one woman. And you know what? When I look back over years, there's been a couple of times I was so naive, I could have got sucked in pretty easy, Raymond, when we walked out of that house over here and we got in the car and he says to me, promise me one thing, Pastor. I said, what's that? Don't ever go back to that house. You remember that? Because that woman, in hindsight, was sensuous. And he saw it. What do you think that would have been like? I don't know. I don't care. I don't need to know. Because the relationship I have with her makes that nothing. Nothing. Whatever it is, you and I have to die to enter fully into a full relationship with Him. Friend, don't worry about it. Once you're fully with Him and enjoying the functioning responsibilities of His fatherhood, that ain't going to matter a lick. You ain't going to miss it at all. Not a bit. We're messed up. Everybody hates the term separation. Church preaches separation because they preach about modest and distinct dress and no alcohol and right music. Church preaches separation. I'm going to tell you, when a church is properly preaching separation, they're preaching obedience to the principles of Scripture. But they're also saying separation is coming out of so that you can go into an unbelievable relationship with God Himself. That's the essence of separation. And along the way, terrors have to die. Terrors have to die. Terrors have to die. I've told you before, I'm not going to go into it in great detail, but when God's call came to me to leave Marion Avenue, and I loved that pastor and loved that place and loved those people, but I knew God had called me out. But I decided where I was going in. Somebody said to me in August of 1989, hey, there's a church in Bourbonnais, and this is this. And I said, I wouldn't get with it. I said this. I'm not proud of it. I said, I wouldn't get within 1,000 miles of that place. Boy, it's funny what the Lord does to you, doesn't it? And nothing. Am I right? It's like Peter and the disciples fishing all night and catching from August till April of 1990, I caught nothing. And I woke up one morning and realized, I've got to die to what I want. And I went to the cemetery and stayed an hour and walked in that cemetery and said, God, this is where people come to die. And I am coming to die to my ambition and my dream and my will. Whatever you want. Get in my car, drive to that church, walk up those stairs. And Mary Bender says, the secretary, there's a fellow by the name of Joe Griffin called you from someplace in Bourbonnais, Illinois. And here we are, 29 plus years later. What do you think that church would have been like? I don't know. I don't care. I'm having the time of my life right here. But I had to die to a terror. I had to die to a terror. Roshrock, you had to die to a terror. And Gina to go to Belarus. You had to. It's not just coming out. Look where I am, and I don't do this, and I don't do that. What's the old little saying? I don't smoke, dip, or chew, and run with those that do. I said, that's not why I called you out. I called you out so that you could be with me. Let's stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, bless the lesson to our hearts tonight. May we catch the full essence of separation, not just mentally grasping it, but Lord, help us to live it. May it become a reality in our lives. And if there's people here tonight that need to die to a terror, Lord, what is it? Is it a friend? Is it a family member? Is it? I don't know what it is, Lord. I don't know. But just speak to hearts. I know it's a Wednesday night, but help us to be obedient to you. And enjoy the full essence of separation unto, out of, into. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, just a quick verse of invitation. And we will close this verse.